Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Zion.
Welcome to the Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. John Schmoke, Jeff Beagles with you, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter if you want to join us that way and talk some New York Giants or NFL football. Today, our big topic is going to be the Senior Bowl. We'll be joined by Matt Miller from Bleacher Report in about 5-10 minutes. Then Tony Pauline, back-to-back, draftinsider.net, going to talk about all the different players that participated out there, guys that stood out. And, of course, you still have the game coming up. But as everyone will tell you, Jeff, when it comes to the Senior Bowl, you get more out of watching these practices and watching these guys go one-on-one against each other in football situations than you actually get out of the game.
Yeah, because you get more reps, and there's more, you know, and the guys in practice, every one of those guys that are there, they're out to show what they can do because their draft stock can go increasingly higher through the practices. And then even more if you do something in the game, John. But practice-wise, you know, they're there for a week. They're getting scouted by every single person in the National Football League, and it's a great opportunity for those guys to show what they can do against not only just all the best talent, because this, you know, this is the bowl game to be in, the Senior Bowl. This is the one that is the biggest as far as the players that are in it. And to be able to go against the other players during the week makes a big impact on their draft status.
Now, Jeff, as a player, I'd like to get your opinion on this. A lot of underclassmen this year. In fact, I think there was a record set of underclassmen declaring for the draft in 2016. What's the advantage for an NFL team drafting a senior, whether a four-year guy or a five-year guy, as compared to drafting an underclassman?
Well, I think that what goes into it, I think nowadays the NFL has a committee. There are people that will tell these young men, you know, this is where we project you at. And then there's always the guys that feel like they even though you told me I'm going to be a fourth rounder, I still think I can be a first rounder. So those are the juniors. The seniors, I think you get a little bit more maturity. Usually these guys are fifth year or maybe even, you know, 4 year or fifth year guys. They came off an injury of some sorts. Two, I think that they're a little healthier coming off of an injury opposed to if they were a junior. And then I just think them being a senior, there might be a captain in there somewhere, or there might be some leadership qualities. But I think the biggest thing, John, to answer your question is maturity factor. You look at a lot of these younger guys that come into the league. For instance, I'll give you one prime example right away is DeMontre Moore. He comes out, you know, he's a young, young guy. These guys are just not mature enough to play in the National Football League yet. And you say to yourself, maybe what does 1 year make a difference? Well, it does. It makes a huge difference. So I think that's probably the biggest difference. And some of those seniors were either got hurt or last year they were told that they shouldn't come out. And then they go out and prove themselves and have a good year, their senior year, and their draft picks go up. Talk about money. It's about the where you are slotted in your draft class is how much money you're going to make in a contract.
How much does competition between these players really come out during these practices? And how much can these NFL personnel types determine the characteristics and inner workings of these guys based on how they react to the competition against the other great players at their level in these practices?
Well, I think, you know, when you go to the combine, you get a little snippet of that. You get a 15-minute session with them to talk to them about that. You get to see them on the field, you know. So there's not a lot of interaction at the combine. Where at the Senior Bowl, they're on the field with them. When they're not in a drill, these guys are talking to them. They're watching their personalities. They're watching the way that they conduct themselves on and off the field, how they prepare for practice. There's just so much information that can be gathered from a Senior Bowl and these practices. So it does matter to these guys going up against the other players because the team is, hey, once the drill is over, you know, they could have Mark, the personnel guy for the Giants,
Mark Ross.
He could be right there talking to John Schmelk, who's going to be a first rounder or a second rounder.
I'm going to be a first rounder.
Darn right you are, right? And so I figure, you know, it's one of those things where it's just all about getting to know these guys for a week long rather than that 15-minute interview that they get at the combine. And I'm sure there are more interviews than that, but I'm just making a point that they definitely get to see more of them and talk to them more at the Senior Bowl.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. And now we're joined, I think he's still in Mobile, Alabama. Maybe he's flown out of there already. We'll find out in a second. Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. Matt, are you still down there in Alabama, or have you gone out of Dodge?
I got out of Dodge on the last flight out last night, so I got, you know, 5 hours of sleep and up and ready to go.
Well, you know what, and I think that kind of tells you what I told fans at the start of the show, Matt, is that the fun stuff with the Senior Bowl are the practices, and you find out a lot more about these players at these practices than you do in the game this weekend.
Yeah, you really do. You know, the game is an all-star game. You know, it's like the Pro Bowl. You're not going to get a lot of competition. You know, you're not going to get guys in a rhythm because, you know, like this year there are four quarterbacks on each roster. They're each going to play a quarter probably. So it's tough to get into any kind of rhythm. And you have to remember you got unfamiliar targets these guys are throwing to. And so the practices are where you can really see the traits of a player. You can also see how well they handle pro-style coaching. You can see how well they, you know, acclimate throughout the week. How will they develop as they're being coached up? So the practices are the value. And yesterday in the afternoon practice, almost every NFL team had already, you know, headed out of town. So they're even, you know, the afternoon practice yesterday, you're not seeing a whole lot of team personnel there.
Matt, hi, it's Jeff Fiegels. Listen, I never got a chance to go to any of this Senior Bowl stuff. They didn't really care about punters back in the years that I came out of college. But you know how the game has grown. You know how popular it's become. You just look at the way that this game is going to be put on TV, the Reese's Senior Bowl, big-time sponsorships, all that kind of stuff. For a young guy coming into the Senior Bowl, what would you say is the most important, aside from what he does in practice, you know, communicating with the scouts, talking to them? What do you think is the biggest aspect for these young guys is when they come to the Senior Bowl?
Well, I think it's the being in front of all 32 teams. It's, you know, a huge showcase. And obviously how well you play is important, but it's equally important that you get to interview with every team there. You know, this is where scouts are getting your, you know, injury history. You're getting accurate height, weight, hand size, wingspan, you know, arm length. So you're really starting to fill in the blanks of a prospect evaluation. And I think the practices are super important because a lot of times you get to see, you know, you can compare a guy like Noah Spence, who was at Ohio State and then EKU. You can compare him to guys who played at Georgia and Florida and LSU and you know, a small school guy like Harlan Miller from Southeast Louisiana. You can compare him to a corner from Iowa or Maryland. So it's good to get those, you know, you can start to – stack your board a little bit better because you're comparing these guys in person, you know, one against one.
Matt, a couple years ago we saw Aaron Donald kind of make a name for himself with the Senior Bowl, and then he continued to do well in this draft process, and he got picked in the top 15. Did anybody show up this week that really you think impacted his draft status in a very, very positive way?
You know, I was actually telling my two assistants last night that Aaron Donald was the one player where when I tried to watch other positions, I kept like catching myself watching him instead. And the same thing happened this year with Braxton Miller, the receiver from Ohio State. I told everyone yesterday, hey, today I'm going to watch the offensive line guys, and I'm going to take notes there. You guys watch other positions, and we'll sync up at the end. I ended up sitting there at the 40-yard line watching Braxton Miller run routes. And he was just an electric player. And the gap from Braxton to the other receivers who were there was just astronomical. Now, you know, obviously, you know, the top guys like Laquon Treadwell and Michael Thomas weren't down there, but he was amazing. And the quickness, the toughness, I mean, he's not a soft player. Here's a guy who likes to talk, he likes to hit, he plays physical, and he, you know, probably isn't going to be a top 15 pick and an all-pro like Aaron Donald right away, but I would say it was a similar experience of a guy who just took over practices.
Yeah, and Matt, just watching on TV, you could see the gap in athleticism between him and, quite frankly, everyone else that was on the field. The quickness, the speed, start and stop, all that stuff was off the charts. How quickly do you think, based on, you know, his work ethic, intelligence, things like that, can he pick up this wide receiver position and transition to the NFL and be an effective player?
Well, I think it's going to depend a lot team to team. You know, if you ask him to come into a system and you say, this is what he does really well. He runs the you know, deep route, he runs it pretty well. The stop and go, he can do that. He can run the jet sweeps. He can run bubble screens. I think if you help him acclimate while also taking advantage of some of the things he already does pretty well, he could have a day one impact. And I talked to him the other day. He's willing to line up in the backfield, willing to return kicks and punts. He'll play slot receiver. He'll play outside receiver. So I think he can be a bit of a matchup nightmare because of the speed. Now, obviously, as a route runner, he's still learning. He's still growing there. So it's going to take him a while before he's, you know, before he's running routes like Odell Beckham Jr. But that's not to say that he can't come in and be a big impact right away.
Matt, are there guys or certain individuals that come into the Senior Bowl and say, listen, I'm going to work out all week for these pro scouts, I'm going to play in this game, and then I'm not going to the combine, or I'm going to go to the combine, but I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that, and then I'm going to have my pro day. Do you think that this Senior Bowl has a huge impact on the combine itself?
You know, it used to. Now, it seems like the bar has been set in the past few years for the top prospects to work out at the combine. Mm-hmm. And now that we have, you know, 111 underclassmen entering the draft every year, a lot of the top players aren't Senior Bowl eligible. So you're not seeing those guys Mobile, okay. and then they're holding out. So I would say that everyone who was down there this week, they better be working out in Indy. Other than, you know, if it's an injury or something like that, they should all be on the field. And hopefully we see Carson Wentz throw against Jared Goff. We see him throw against Paxton Lynch and Connor Cook and Christian Hackenberg, because I think that's another good example to compare the guys one versus one.
And really, when you say, you know, we talk about those quarterbacks, those aren't household names. We're really, you know, they're not like the ones we've talked about in the past. So, you know, this year the quarterbacks, it's something to be said about. And who do you put at the top of that list? Is it Goff?
It is for me right now. You know, it's a long process, but I really like what I see. And you know, it's funny, like, you know, we all have our favorite flavor of ice cream. When it comes to quarterbacks, I tend to gravitate to the, you know, the poised guy in the pocket who's going to be super accurate and, you know, a smart player, maybe not the biggest arm strength. So I kind of know my weakness as a quarterback, or my type as a quarterback evaluator, and Goff fits into that mold. Now, Carson Wentz is closing that gap every day because he has the big arm. He's also very, very intelligent, you know, a 4.0 honor student coming out of North Dakota State. Was a five-year player there, so he's been through the system. He's mature. He's very field smart as well, and he's also 6'5", 235 pounds, and he runs the ball really, really well. So that gap between quarterback one and quarterback two isn't very big this year.
Did Carson Wentz show you anything, Matt, this week that maybe you weren't sure about before you saw him live and in practice, or did he simply confirm some of the things that you thought you knew about him, or have you raised a new red flag maybe that – you know what? I thought he was good at this. Now maybe I have to look at a little bit more tape.
No, I think he confirmed everything that I saw on tape. The great thing, though, is I don't get to see tape of practices. So to see him interact with teammates, to see that, you know, he's trying to be a leader down the field in wind sprints, or when they're doing Oklahoma drills at the end of practice, he's the guy in the middle of the circle, like, getting his teammates fired up. So you get to see things like that.
Wow, they're actually running wind sprints at the Senior Bowl. That's amazing, because, you know, when they get up to this level, they won't be running wind sprints anymore.
Yeah, it's probably the last one they will ever run. The Cowboys' practices were great, though, and they were fiery. They were having guys run sprints. They were having guys, you know, doing special teams drills and tackling drills. And it was an eye-opener, because we've had some flat practices the past few years down there. But
sure.
Wentz is definitely, he's a leader, and that's what is, you know, you guys know with Eli Manning in the building. When you have a great leader, you're going to win big games.
Yeah, no question.
Now up front, we got to see a lot of those great offensive line, defensive line drills. One of the guys that I loved, especially the way he used his hands, was the defensive tackle out of Louisville. Can you talk about him a little bit, and any other maybe defensive lineman that caught your eye during the week, Matt?
This is such a great group of defensive linemen. And as you mentioned, Sheldon Rankins from Louisville had a great week. Unfortunately, sprained knee and had to drop out a little bit early from practice and won't be in the game. But he looks like a first-round player. You know, he's 6'1", 305 pounds, and he moves like he's 280. He's got a great athletic body, quick hips, uses his hands well, and he has power in his hands. So he's not just a speed player. He definitely, you know, caught my eye when he was doing the one-on-one drills and then splitting the double teams and the team portion. But Vernon Butler from Louisiana Tech would be another defensive lineman who definitely stood out. 330 pounds, you think, oh, this is a space eater. but you see him chasing down quarterbacks. And, you know, he reminded me of a guy I saw a few years ago, Brandon Williams, who's now with the Baltimore Ravens and playing at a high caliber. Austin Johnson from Penn State had a great week, and he's interesting because he was a junior entry into the draft, but since he had graduated, they get an exception, and they can play in the Senior Bowl, and he definitely helped his stock. Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky had a really good week, and you probably know the name because he was at Ohio State, and he looked like a future top 10 pick. Then he got kicked out of Ohio State. He's kind of, you know, found himself at EKU and just had a tremendous year and a great Senior Bowl week, and I think his stock's pretty much soaring through the roof right now.
You see a lot of those defensive linemen this year going in the first round. I mean, what do you think, this is the position that it's going to be heavy in the first round, is D linemen?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, in the past few years, it's been offensive tackle, but this year I think it'll be defensive lineman because, you know, obviously Joey Bosa, you know, is a junior, and I think everyone expects him to be a top five pick. You know, Noah Spence, the two kids from Clemson, Shaq Lawson and Kevin Dodd, are both tremendous. And then all the defensive tackles, there are so many good ones. You know, Vernon Butler and Austin Johnson are just two of them. You've got Jerron Reed from Alabama and A'shaun Robinson from Alabama. It's definitely a good year to need a defensive tackle, whether that's a three-technique pass rusher or one-technique shade. I mean, you can kind of pick what you want, and there's going to be a top-tier player at that spot.
I only have two more players I want to ask you about, Matt. One is the linebacker out of Alabama, Reggie Ragland. He played inside in college. How do you see him projecting in the pros? Is he going to be a middle linebacker in the 4-3? I know he also rushed the passer a lot at Alabama coming off the edge. He did a practice this week a little bit. How do you see Reggie Ragland transitioning to the NFL? What position is he going to play? What scheme is he going to best fit? And how did he do in practice this week?
You know, he had a great week of practice. He did everything you would expect. And I always warn people that the Senior Bowl is not the best showcase for a middle linebacker just because a lot of what you're doing is stopping the run. So I think he's better than, you know, if you watch the practices every day, he probably didn't jump off the page, but he's really good. And I think he is an inside linebacker at the next level. You know, he's quick, he's strong. It's funny because he's built like, you know, a linebacker from 10 years ago, but he runs as well as some of these new age, you know, athletic inside guys. So coming from Alabama, you know, he's going to be well coached. You know, he's going to know technique. He's going to understand run fits. But like you said, he's also versatile enough to be a pass rusher. He can play outside the tackle box. But I think in this day and age, you want A-gap blitzers. He's going to bring a lot of value there just because of the strength, the length, the burst that he has in his lower body. So I see him as a top 15 pick and one of those guys who's just going to hit the ground running and have a big
final question for me, Matt. Sterling Shepard seems to be the most maybe pro-ready receiver is the way to put it. That was, you know, at practice this week. Do you see him as a slot guy? How do you see Sterling Shepard? Where do you see him going in the draft? And your opinion on him out of Oklahoma?
Well, you know, I've missed on a couple of those guys like Tyler Lockett and John Brown in the past. So I'm very much watching Sterling Shepard with a close eye to make sure I don't mess up again. But I do think he was one of the most pro-ready guys this week. I do see him as a slot receiver who you could put out on the edge. But the difference between Shepard and, you know, like Lockett, who we saw last year, is I think Tyler Lockett is much, much faster. You know, maybe Shepard, if I had to estimate, you know, on film, not what he's going to train for at the combine, he would probably be a 4.5 guy in the 40, and Lockett was, you know, like a low 4.4, high 4.3 guy. So he does catch the ball better than Tyler Lockett did. You know, he's a natural hands catcher, but that speed and elusiveness at the line of scrimmage that allows Lockett to not get jammed up, I don't see that from Shepard. And I don't think he's as good in the return game either. So he would, you know, kind of be a poor man's Tyler Lockett, I guess you could say. But if I had to do a round projection, I would say pretty safely in round 3 right now.
All right, Matt, we appreciate the time.
Thank you, Matt.
We will talk to you down the road.
Guys,
we will see you at the combine. Always good to hear from you. The draft process is just beginning, my friend.
Thanks, fellas.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That's Matt Miller. Bleacher Report does a fantastic job.
Does.
We thank him for giving us the time. And now we're going to have Tony Pauline joining us from Draft Insider .net in just a second. And I think what you like, Jeff, from this Senior Bowl thing is that you can see the best players in college go up against in one-on-one situations the other best players in college. And at the combine, they're running in shorts. You're getting raw numbers. You're getting raw data. They're not doing football stuff.
Right.
This was all football stuff this week.
This is all football stuff. And as Matt said, you know, the game is an all-star game, so you're not going to see a lot of stuff in the game. I think I agree with him with rhythm. We've talked about rhythm in the running back position during the season. You know, it's hard to get a rhythm. But I think that most of the qualities and things that you're going to see out of these players is during the week of practice. And you saw that some guys, you know, they get hurt, but at least they can get some of that stuff on film. And, you know, all the coaches, just for instance, to give you an idea, I believe that most of the coaches, if not all of them for the Giants, they're here. They're not down there. The scouting and management's there. So, but they get videos of each practice. So they're able to watch the videos and watch what these guys do. And I always like the Senior Bowl. I like to watch it. And, you know, especially if you know some of the players, which we all do because we watch college football on Saturday, that seeing them in a game like this, it's pretty cool.
And they also get a chance to interview these guys. You know, at the combine,
big time, yeah.
You have very limited time with a lot of these players. The Senior Bowl, you know, for the guys that are seniors and are able to participate in the event, as we mentioned, there's a lot of underclassmen coming out this year. It's really a good chance for these organizations to get to know these players close up.
And also, not only from the interviewing part of it, like I said, how are they preparing? How are they look on practice field? How do they come out? Are they coming out early? Are they coming out late? You know, these are all things as coaches you look for in the characters of these guys. You know, are these guys leaders? We talked about the quarterback position. Are these guys able to step into a huddle with, you know, 10 other guys that I don't even know and become that leader right away? Those are kind of some intangibles that you as a scout and an organization are looking in certain players that you're getting ready to draft.
Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Now from DraftInsider.net, it's Tony Pauline, one of our other go-to draft gurus. And Tony, I know you're out in Mobile. I'm sure you've gone out of town just like everybody else has. How was your week? And what did you see that interested you out there?
It's been 2 weeks since I went from the Shrine Game to the Senior Bowl. So and the weather was a little bit off, but it's been okay. It's been very busy these past 2 weeks. Shrine Week and Senior Bowl Week are very busy. Actually, this year's roster was really good. It's been one of the best rosters of the past 10 years.
Wow.
There was terrific talent at the quarterback position. We saw some great receivers, Braxton Miller. Saw some good defensive linemen. Really, the only position that really didn't impress me all that much was the defensive secondary. But there's going to be plenty of early draft picks that come from the past 3 days of practice.
Hi, Tony. It's Jeff Fiegels. We're sitting here just talking about the draft and talking about needs for our own team here in the Giants. And, you know, to me, I think that the one need that this Giants defense needs is a pass rusher. Who in your mind either stood out that you didn't think was going to be all that great, if you will, or one guy that you feel will maybe be around there, right around number 10, 9, 11, kind of where the Giants are picking 10, actually?
Yeah, I don't think that there were any top 15 choices at the pass rushing position that we saw the past 3 days.
Really?
Or any of them that are going to come from the Senior Bowl. I mean, there may be some guys in round two that may impress the Giants. Guys like Noah Spence from Eastern Kentucky, a guy who started his career at Ohio State in 2013 when he was a sophomore there, had first-round potential written all over him, was just a monster out of a three-point stance. Had some off-the-field issues and was dismissed from the Ohio State program, went and played at Eastern Kentucky last year, had a very good year, and really impressed scouts with his play. He's a guy who can stand up over tackle as a pass rusher. He can also come out of a three-point stance. Got a lot of pressure against some of the top tackles all week, made a lot of plays up the field. The question for him is, he's a guy who's a first-round talent, but he's got off-the-field character issues. He was interviewed at the Senior Bowl. He's going to be grilled at the combine. It's just a matter of, you know, our team's comfortable that he's past the immaturity that he showed, which got him kicked out of the or dismissed from the Ohio State program.
Hey, Tony, I want to get a little bit more in depth with the quarterbacks. Carson Wentz was obviously the one player that a lot of people kind of had their eyes on this week. Out of North Dakota State, wasn't highly recruited out of high school because of injuries. Has the body, has the athleticism. What did he show you in practice? And now that you've seen him up close and in person for a few days, what are your question marks that you worry about when you see Carson Wentz and what he can do?
Well, I mean, I was very impressed. I watched him on film. I was really looking forward to watching him at the Senior Bowl. And, you know, he basically stood out in every area. He was a little bit slow off the snide the first day of practice, but he started to really pick it up late in the first practice. And then Wednesday started to assert his authority. As you said, he's got the size, he's got the arm strength. Tuesday was a very windy day at the Senior Bowl, and he was one of the few quarterbacks that was able to get the ball cut through the wind. I mean, they did some drills where they did some sprint out passing. They would sprint to their left and make the throw. He was so far ahead of everybody. I mean, a lot of the other quarterbacks had to take 3 yards, sprint out, get 3 yards up the field before they were ready to throw the ball, and still they lost steam on their passes. Not Wentz. He easily got out to the left-hand side and was, while he was still rolling out, threw the ball with great speed. He's a leader. You can tell on the field he's a leader. He rallied his guys. It really, really stood out from everyone else, as was expected. If there's one criticism that I have of him, he has a very long throwing motion. He's got a big windup. He's going to have to try and compact that a little bit and keep his accuracy, keep his ball speed, because those long windups, you can get away with them on college, on the college level, but when the pros, the professional defensive backs start to see that hand move, they're going to make their move on the ball. You can't do that on Sunday.
One follow-up on that, Tony, real quick. The one thing I think NFL teams are going to try to figure out with Carson Wentz is whether or not he can play with the same precision in the NFL that he played with in FBS, you know, which is, you know, Division One Double A for the people that know what is that. Can he play at the speed of the NFL without losing something? Can he anticipate that extra second or so quicker? Can he play with guys that are bigger and faster? How are NFL teams going to try to figure that out?
There's going to be a lot of interviewing. There's going to be a lot of whiteboard where they're going to diagram plays. And it's going to be a lot of trial and error. I mean, you know, you bring up the great invariable, and how they're going to try it out. You're really not going to know it until you get this guy into camp. You know, it could be just a roll of the dice. Joe Flacco was able to do it, but Joe Flacco did also play, spend a few years at Pittsburgh before transferring to Delaware.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to. He's a very mature person, which I think speaks a lot about him. You know, the fact that if there's a guy where there are bumps in the road and there are hurdles in his way, he's the type of character, he's the type of personality that is going to put, you know, his mind to it to get over that and put in the work that's necessary, you know, to improve. There's no doubt in my mind, I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. And I think that whatever team drafts him, you got to expect some bumps in the road. But his upside is incredible, not only because of the physical skills, but his accuracy, the way he runs the offense, the way he takes control of the situation, it's just going to take a little bit of time. There's going to be no instant success for Carson Wentz, I don't believe anyway.
Tony, just for our listeners and our viewers here on Big Blue Kickoff Live, give some insight on. We're talking about the players and how everything goes on, but you know, really, what happens at practice? I mean, these players come out. They obviously have a scripted practice with, you know, 7-on-7 drills, 1-on-1 things. How much interaction is there really with people from the NFL and these players while practice is going on and things like that on the field?
Well, while practice is going on, not much. But the big thing about practice is the Senior Bowl practices are so much different than what they experienced in college, because the Senior Bowl practices are run like NFL practices. You talked about Carson Wentz. I mean, a lot of these college quarterbacks don't run the offense from a huddle, don't step up underneath center. I mean, they're in a shotgun position. They're looking at the sidelines to call the play, and basically everything is done for them, and they make the decision. That's not what happens at the Senior Bowl. You run the offense from the huddle. You step in under center. You got a fullback behind you, which a lot of times these guys never play with a fullback. You got tight ends, sometimes two in line, set and tight. You know, the defensive backs, they have to backpedal. You watch college film, a lot of these guys just side shuffle down the field and mosey on down the field and rely on their speed to make plays. Not at the Senior Bowl. You got to backpedal. You got to turn. You got to play with NFL fundamentals. The quarterbacks have to make NFL passes. The receivers, you know, who sometimes on the college level run lazy routes, forget about it. If you're not sharp in your breaks, if you're floating on exit, that's going to be a mark against you. So while there's not a lot of interaction, there are a lot of coaches and scouts and general managers in the stands watching this. The practices are run like NFL practices, which is very much unlike what they do on the college level.
I also would think that, you know, the terminology is somewhat similar but, you know, different. And I think that, you know, a lot of times when you talk about these guys and how smart they are, the Wunderlich test and all these kind of things, these are some of the intangibles that come into play that are being evaluated, is how quickly can these guys learn a defense, learn an offense, and then apply it to that daily routine of their practices and, of course, carry it over into the game.
When I interview these guys at the Senior Bowl, I ask them what they're learning, and they say, you know, it's nonstop. The techniques, the verbiage, the playbook, you know, how to make passes, how to run routes. They're not only just performing for future employers, but as you alluded to, I mean, it's an incredible learning experience, an incredible learning curve, really in the space of just 4 days before the game is played. So, you know, you're right on the money with that, and of course, that's going to show up. You know, if a guy's supposed to contain his gaps or set the edge and he's charging up the field to sack the quarterback, the general managers and the coaches are going to take notice of that.
You know, Tony, I'm looking at your Twitter feed. One player that you've spoken about that a lot of NFL teams were pretty impressed with this week, and, you know, you don't see him a whole lot when Alabama plays because of their Heisman Trophy winning running back, but Kenyon Drake is someone that you've heard NFL people compare to Reggie Bush in terms of his athleticism.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. His quickness, his burst. I mean, you know, if you go back to Kenyon Drake before the knee injury, I mean, he showed those skills on the college field. He showed them again at the Senior Bowl. He's got the quickness and agility to turn the corner. He beats defenders around the perimeter. He ran hard on the inside. The thing about Drake that was so exciting to watch was he can turn it on in one step and he's gone. I mean, he broke off so many long runs like that. He'd find the hole, boom, he was gone. He's also a terrific pass catcher out of the backfield. He has Reggie Bush types of skills and explosion. I don't know that he's going to be a feature runner at the next level, but if you're looking for a guy who can be a multi-threat third down back, carrying the ball or catching it out of the backfield, and also do some returning of punts on occasion, I think Kenyon Drake is a guy who is going to be someone that teams will consider in the third round, and he was a last-day pick, or he was considered a last-day pick coming into the Senior Bowl, but he was just so explosive and so exciting and really was a plus player every time he did a drill, every
wow.
time he touched the ball, every time the ball was thrown to him.
A little bit like our guy here, Shane Vereen, maybe, a little bit kind of something like that. But, you know, it just goes to show you how Alabama – they just got guys that 2-3 deep that can play football. You know, it's ridiculous when you think about it.
Outstanding athletes, and basically, not only play football, I mean, go back to what I said. I mean, Alabama's run like an NFL program.
Yeah.
I mean, the practices are run like NFL practices. The Alabama guys play with good technique. Their cornerbacks backpedal rather than side shuffle because of the coaching there, as you said.
Yep.
You know, we just had Matt Miller on from Bleacher Report, Tony, and he was on the Braxton Miller bandwagon. And based on what I'm reading from you, you are right next to him in the driver's seat, huh, bud?
Well, I think I was a little bit ahead of him, but, I mean, absolutely. Braxton Miller, you know, 10 years ago there was a guy by the name of Matt Jones, a former quarterback from Arkansas who came, who blew everybody away with the way he caught the ball and the way he ran past people down the sidelines. What Braxton Miller did was, he didn't just show the ability to catch the ball and run fast. It was the nuances that he showed. His route running was incredible. I mean, a lot of these guys were rounding their routes off. There were times where Braxton Miller was running his routes at almost a 90-degree angle, coming out of his routes with great
wow.
quickness, staying low to the ground, catching the ball, getting separation from the defenders. The way he used his hands to separate from opponents, knock them back off the line of scrimmage, separate out of routes, the way he plucked the pass from the air. It was more than just running fast and catching the ball. It was the little things that were Braxton Miller, when he was on the field doing drills against guys who basically had played the receiver position for the past 4 years, Braxton Miller looked like he came out of the womb ready to play receiver. That's how good he was. That's how natural he was. That's how well-refined he was in every area. And he looked the part, and he played to it. He was pretty confident in himself. But you know what? He matched it because he was good the first day of practice on Tuesday, and he just kept getting better. The only thing that eventually stopped Braxton Miller was a calf cramp the last day of practice. That was the only thing that was able to slow him down.
Don't mention calf injuries around the
Giants,
Tony.
We don't like that around here.
That scares people around here.
Take back that. Yeah. We don't like calf injuries.
Real quick, Reggie Ragland, how did he look this week? How high do you think he's going to go? I know a lot of people before Jalen Smith's injury thought he and Miles Jack were the two top 10 linebackers. How high do you think Reggie Ragland can go? And where do you think he would fit in a 4-3 NFL defense?
If he's going to play a 4-3, it's got to be in the middle. I see him strictly as a as a inside linebacker and a 34 or a 4-3 middle guy. I think he would struggle on the outside. You know, he's very good in the box. He's very good sideline to sideline. He's not so good making plays in reverse, which is what you want a lot of times with your 4-3 guys. A little bit short in the sense that he's 6'1 and a half, so, you know, may have trouble matching up against tight ends, but when the play's in front of him, and you ask him to go sideline to sideline, he's a forceful guy. He's an instinctive guy. He finds the ball. He's explosive up the field. He's a good open field tackler. You know, that's one thing, again, at the Senior Bowl, you knock down guys down in college, not at the Senior Bowl. You better wrap them up. You better put your shoulder pads into him, wrap them up and bring him down to the point of contact. That's what Reggie Ragland does. Right now, I perceive him as probably a bottom of round one guy. I don't think he's going to break into the top 15.
All right, Tony, final question for me. Is there one guy this week that maybe you thought, maybe he's a day three pick, late day three, back two couple rounds of the draft, that you think might have played themselves into an early day three pick or even maybe a day two pick in rounds two or three?
Well, you know, I don't want to be repetitive, but it's the guy we already mentioned, was Kenyon Drake of Alabama. You know, the questions about his knee injury, he came into the season basically graded as a barely draftable player by scouts. He had a good senior campaign at Alabama. It wasn't great. But basically, when he was given the opportunity to be the man during Senior Bowl practice, he was in every aspect. You know, he showed that versatility, which is so important to teams now. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't just want guys who can run with the football. They want guys that can catch it out of the backfield. They want guys that can create havoc, that can act as, you know, with the ball fakes that the teams are going to have to game plan around. Kenyon Drake showed himself that when he's on the field, teams are going to have to pay attention. They're going to have somebody basically protect against him, and I think that sort of player and what he did basically moves him up two rounds in the draft.
And I'm going to give you a chance to give us a little bit of a preview here looking forward. We even talked about a lot of the underclassmen. They really haven't done much yet in this, you know, postseason draft process, Tony. Give me one or two guys that maybe not a lot of people are talking about right now from the underclassmen that you think can really push their way up the board and surprise some folks.
Give me an offensive lineman, Jermaine Ifedi from Texas A&M. You know, everyone talks about Larry Tunzel, Ron Stanley. They talk about Conklin of Michigan State. Jermaine Ifedi has been a 3-year starter. He started out a guard for the at Texas A&M. He moved out to right tackle. He's an incredibly athletic guy who can play right tackle, can play left tackle, can play guard in a zone blocking system.
Wow.
You know, people say, well, maybe he's a first rounder. I think when all is done at the combine, he's a guy who could jump into the top 20. The other player who I really like a lot, who gets some mention but not enough, is Darren Lee of Ohio State. Everybody talks about Joey Bosa, understandably, possibly the first pick of the draft. But Darren Lee is a guy, he's a three-down defender. He's got great size. He's forceful up the field on the blitz. He can play the run. On those third and eight passing situations, if you want him to drop in the coverage to cover the tight ends of the back, he does a great job. He's a little bit young. He's a third-year sophomore. But I think that's a guy that, you know, if the Giants want a linebacker, the 10th slot, or a defender who can play linebacker and blitz the quarterback, I think Lee is a guy who's going to make a big move up draft boards when all is said and done after the combine.
Well, Giants fans, certainly we'd like to see a first-round draft pick around here be a linebacker. We haven't had one in a long time. Tony, what about Shaq Lawson? Would he be a number 10 pick for the Giants, do you think? I like him a lot, by the way. I feel like he's he got out of the Clemson, 6'3", 270. It feels like he plays a little – he's fast, which we like here.
He's fast. He can rush the passer, and he can change direction and really pursue down the line of scrimmage and catch ball carriers from the backside. I do think that 10 is a bit early for him.
I have him
as a mid-first-round pick, really better off in the bottom half of round one.
Sure.
Two things. He's really banged up. I mean, he had a knee issue. I'm hearing about potential shoulder issue. So those things are going to have to be cleared up. And you hate to broad brush schools or programs, but for the most part, the history of those types of pass rushers that have come out of the Clemson program has not been good. There have been one or two that have had success, but a lot of them really have failed to live up to expectations. You hate to blame the system, but when that happens over and over again, and the fact is this is, everybody talks about Shaq Lawson. When I was down at the Senior Bowl, I talked to some teams who like his teammate, Kevin Dodd, an underclassman who also entered the draft, better than Shaq Lawson. They think he's a better pass rusher. They think he's more explosive. So I think 10 is a bit early for Lawson's services.
Okay. Tony, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, good stuff, Tony. Thank you.
Question for you. Will you be making your way out to the combine this year again, Tony, or no?
I will. I've been to all combine workouts since 2001, so if nothing else, I've got to keep that streak going.
Excellent. We will see you out there, Tony. We'll hook up at the combine. Thanks for the time, as always, and we'll see you in Indy, all right?
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
That's Tony
Pauline,
DraftInsider.net, does a fantastic job. And, you know, Jeff is so getting into the draft process here, but I think you got a pretty good feel for it now. Look at you. You got the cross off Shaq Lawson.
Why did I cross off Shaq Lawson?
Bailed.
As soon as he said history of injuries, I don't want him. We do not want anybody like that anymore. But really, I think that a lot of these guys, you know, this is such a stressful time for these guys. And when you have two guys that came on today, Matt and Tony, to talk to us about the draft, you can see how, you know, some of these guys can be their future. They move up. That's a lot of money for them. A lot of money. So, and there's guys that move down, and they, you know, and something that I think is horrible is some of these players is when they get tagged for being X. Well, they're hurt, or, you know, they like their guy, the other guy that plays behind them better. You know, those things, I hate to hear those types of things, because those go, they start to be like rumors, and next thing you know, they become, people aren't going to take them because of that. So, but the Darren Lee guy from Ohio State, he mentioned, I like him. He was a former safety. Excuse me, no, he wasn't. I take that back. I'm talking about Jalen Mills from LSU. He was a former safety, but he was a former cornerback. Now, never mind. Take that back. I'm going to move it on to John now. I'm losing my thought process here. Yes. Yeah. I can't even read my own writing. That's how bad it is. Anyways, but yeah, you know, it is kind of fun when you talk about all these college players, and you're getting the same names over and over.
Well,
the
Jeff,
guys,
you haven't, see, you
Braxton
haven't,
Miller, Braxton Miller, Braxton Miller.
See, you haven't done these shows in the offseason with us before.
No.
For the next 2-3 months, especially once we get past free agency,
yeah,
we'll get about a good month of free agency talk leading up to that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
That'll be a lot of like.
And we'll start doing that in the middle of February because that's about a month off.
Yeah.
You know, I think March 9th
coming up,
I think this
coming
year is the start of the league year. So we'll have all that. But then once we get past that and you get some of those guys off the board, you're going to get a good month and change of just
and you guys
draft,
go to the combine,
draft,
right?
Draft,
you,
draft.
You guys
we,
go
we
there.
We'll be at the combine.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's
so
awesome.
We're going to talk to these guys, and, you know, Ben McAdoo will be out there. Jerry Reese will be out there. We'll try to talk to them, and it'll just be a fun time. Fans, don't forget, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. It's as simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. And I talked to Brian earlier in the week. Dominic, are they doing a Pro Bowl contest this week, do we know, DraftKings? Do you have any idea? Check that for me. I'm curious. Brian wasn't sure last week either. I would imagine they are, right?
Yeah, I mean, one last go-round, you know, the last one that's other than the Super Bowl. But
I know I'm putting you on the spot. I don't care. Give me two DraftKings Pro Bowl picks.
DraftKings Pro Bowl picks.
Guys who have big Pro Bowls this weekend.
Oh, wow, that's so hard.
Yeah.
Well,
you know
I
who's
mean,
in the game.
I gotta think. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm gonna go with wow. I don't know. Go with Beckham.
That's what I would pick.
Why not?
That's
I mean,
why I would
the guy,
pick.
He's got Eli thrown to him.
Why don't you pick Eli and Beckham?
Well, I got to go. I'm going to go one NFC, and I'll go one. Well, there is no NFC
anymore. No, there is
anymore.
No NFC AFC anymore.
That's crazy. You know, I want to congratulate Josh Brown, okay,
that's right,
and Eli, both the guys going. And I think that, you know, it was funny because I had asked somebody, Carmen, or one of our video guys here, I said, well, how did Josh Brown go as a bat? You know, he was an alternate, and they got to go. Who's the NFC? He goes, no, there is no NFC AFC anymore. So it's crazy. Like
Steven
at the
Gronkowski is basically like, I don't want to show up at the Pro Bowl and have to answer questions about my mixed extra point.
Hey, good.
See ya.
Good. So congratulations to Josh. On the other side, I think. I mean, it's got to be offensive player because defensive guys,
yeah,
unless they interception. So, yeah, you know what? Why not, Eli? Go
hey,
stay with the Giants.
Make it easy.
Let's go those guys.
All right, your
you?
Calls now. You guys have been very patient. I agree. I'm with those guys. I'm not the guy making picks here. You're the DraftKings fantasy expert.
Hey, you know what? Good set. That was a good set. Thank you to those guys, and hopefully the viewers and listeners got a lot out of that. I know I did. So, and John obviously says that there's a lot more to come. So
and we'll
I'm
certainly hear from them
it.
at the combine, and then we'll hear from them before the draft as well.
Awesome.
As we get ready to continue this draft process, which obviously is a ton of fun. Let's go to Mark in Chicago. He's been holding so very patiently. Mark, thanks for joining us. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. What's going on today?
Hi, Mark.
Thanks, guys. My first time. I'm just recently retired. I've discovered your show, and it's a great way to start the day.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate it.
Congratulations.
That.
Congratulations on your retirement, and congratulations for filling in on the first time here. So what's you got for us?
Well, you know, I've been a fan for 55 years, and to see this defense not stop anybody in the last 2 minutes, it just kills me. I mean, over the years, we've had great defenses, and that was always something you could always depend on, and it really kills me to see the way they're playing. So I think in free agency, I mean, we really got to go for a stud guy like Von Miller, but I see his price tag going up every game he plays.
I got two words for you, Mark. Franchise tag. He ain't going nowhere.
Okay. Well, if you can't come up with somebody better, I think that they should go after Alshon Jeffrey. I get to see this guy every game. Unfortunately, I don't get to see every Giants game. But if you thought Jay Cutler had a bad year 2 years ago, if it wasn't for Alshon Jeffrey, he would have been gone by now. I mean, this guy is a stud. He gives them a kind of receiver that they haven't had since Plaxico Burress. I think it'll take relief off of Odell. It'll open up the running game. And I just think it's worth going after this guy because in the draft, you're not going to go for a receiver. You're going to go for defense all the way. So I'd like to hear your comments on that. And I have a few other things I'd like to mention.
Sure, no problem, Mark. First, real quick from you on Alshon Jeffrey. I think he's a wonderful player, and I think Eli would love throwing him the football. Here's the only thing I would caution. I'd like to hear Jeff's opinion on it as well. Every offseason, as much salary cap space as the Giants might end up having, you still have limited resources. You have X number of draft picks, X number of dollars, and I would still like to focus as many of those as possible on getting this defense better. And Alshon Jeffrey is going to make a lot of money, Jeff. Mm-hmm. And I would want to make sure I have enough resources to use on defense to get this defense to a level where you can go out there and win the NFCs.
And you got to remember when you have the salary cap. So you got, you know, do you want to go out and spend 15% of your money on a receiver when you could go and use it in the defensively?
And especially in a couple of years, you're going to have to probably pay that type of money to Odell Beckham Jr. as well.
But I do, you know, it is interesting dialogue because I think when you talk about receivers next year, is where is Victor Cruz going to be in his comeback, if you will? You know, is there Hakeem Nicks? Is he going to be back? Is Reuben Randall going to be back? And then you got Davis, Miles White, Ben Edwards. Those names, those are the guys you're going to go with next year in the training camp. And so I got to believe that the Giants somewhere and somehow, whether it is an Alshon Jeffrey or it is in the draft, there's going to be an addition somewhere as a receiver there. I just don't know where. But you got to be careful when you're spotlighting your one big-time free agent, where do you want him to be and how much of that cap money he's going to be able to take away from you. That's important.
All right, Mark, what else you got?
Well, one comment. I would, you know, don't bring up Reuben Randall in the conversation. I don't have anything good to say about that guy, and I wouldn't call him a bad name. So, but anyway.
Well, thank you for not doing that.
On the offensive line, I think you got to go with your five best guys. And to me, Beatty is one of those guys. You're paying him $6 million. He's got $1.5 million in dead cap space. You're not going to get rid of him. You go to Flowers and you say, you know what, we got to rebuild our defense. You did a great job at left tackle. You know, we need you on the right side for a year or two. And that will help open up the running game again, which is one of the things that extends those plays and drives and keeps the defense off the field. And let me say one thing about Flowers. I went down to the Miami game, and that guy is a freaking warrior. I mean,
he is.
He right before Odell made that catch in the end zone with the tip-tap on the end line, he was out running around the left side, throwing blocks for Jennings. He ended up rolling out of bounds. Nobody saw him. The guy could not get up off the ground. The ref had to help him up off the ground, and then he went back to the huddle. His left foot looked like Jason Pierre-Paul's hand. It was so wrapped up. The guy's a warrior, and I think he's going to be a great player for the Giants for years to come. So, and that said, the last thing I just wanted to say, did Ben McAdoo decide whether he's going to call plays or not?
No, I have not heard either way, to be honest with you.
Okay. I really think that he ought to offload that to somebody else. I think his play calling is suspect. I mean, we don't have the Green Bay Packers. We don't have Aaron Rodgers. With all due respect to Eli, he's not Mike McCarthy yet, and he calls run plays when they should pass and vice versa. and I don't remember which game it was. They were down in the red zone, fourth down. They had four guys go out on a pattern, and not one of them was in the end zone. And Eli threw an interception. So I just wanted to make that comment, and, you know, I'll listen to your answer, and if not, I'll call back again in the near future.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate you, Mark, joining the Big Blue Kickoff crew here on Giants.com.
If he's not going to be making the calls, then it would be Mike Sullivan, who is the offensive coordinator. Nobody, and I think that even somebody brought up, might even him that said that, why would I tell you if I am or I'm not? That's kind of an advantage that we have over the other team. We don't want people to know who's calling the play.
I'm sure they'll figure that out eventually, though, and the media will figure out what exactly is going on. It's hard to keep that one secret.
It is, because as soon as you see the walkie-talkie run off, and then, oh, I guess he's calling the plays.
Yeah.
Well, is this a dead giveaway?
Well,
okay, Eli.
It's all a matter of who has the big card in front of him, right?
Big card.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things you said on Beattie, I agree. I think if Will Beattie, and we'll see what happens coming back from the injury and all that stuff, how ready he's going to be, etc. If he does become a starter again, Jeff, doesn't it have to be at left tackle, or do you think he can play the right side?
That's a good question, because you think about the experience factor. Obviously, he has more experience playing, not so much playing right tackle, left, just playing. But I think in this, in my mind, it's where do you want Flowers to be long term? Because he's obviously going to play longer than Beattie's going
to
play.
Well, to me, I think they think I think the Giants believe he's a franchise left tackle, and he might be better to, you know, the starter's career to get used to the NFL, play the right side. That was the plan this year until Beattie got hurt. But I think long term future, you pick a guy that early in the draft, you think he's going to be a franchise left tackle.
I don't want to mess with my left tackle.
So you want to leave him there then?
I want to leave him there. I want a guy that feels now he's going to be in the second year of a system. He's got experience. I'm just going to let that guy just sit there over there and marinate, man. Just leave him, let him be. And then we'll worry about the right side, which is kind of what they did this year with Newhouse. Will it be Beattie next year? A lot of questions on that offensive line going forward next year. Where, you know, and the caller, Mark, brought up a good point, is that whoever that right tackle is, if it's an upgrade, then you can start to maybe – understand that you can run the football a little bit more on that right side. Remember, this team ran the ball on that left side of the line quite a bit, because that was their best strength with those guys over there.
All right, 201-939-4513. Charlie in Portland, Maine. Charlie, what's going on, pal?
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Charlie.
Great, Charlie. I'm sure you were locked into Senior Bowl practice this week.
Practice? We're just talking about practice?
You know, Charlie, it was actually kind of fun, and they didn't really have the practices on live anywhere. If they did, I couldn't find them. I looked everywhere for them live.
Oh,
I couldn't
find
them. So I watched the NFL Network had like an hour recap show every night on the Senior Bowl practices. I have not watched day three yet because I had a basketball game last night in Maryland, so I was kind of running around. But I'll watch that when I get home today. And they kind of – the first day they did the North team, the second day they did the South team, and you had Mike Mayock and Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah, all their draft guys, talking about everything they saw. And I thought it was actually pretty good programming.
But what I found a little, I don't know, just that, I mean, I guess your guys that you just spoke to, or I don't know, maybe it was John, you said it, but I mean, or maybe it was Jeff, but it was some one of you guys said that practice is more important than the game. And I don't believe that.
Well,
I
want
these guys play when the lights are on and see what they can do, not practice.
Yeah, but Charlie, here's the problem. But Charlie,
he had a lot of. Go ahead.
The Senior Bowl is not a real game.
It's an all-star game.
Yeah, but it's still, you're going up against their better players, and it's a game, and you got to see how they play in a game and their competitiveness. And I mean, practice is like.
But you do. You get to see that part of the game. You get, you know, they get a little game action. But there's, you know, there's a lot of guys that are on these teams that don't get to play the whole game.
Most of
them
don't.
Right.
Yeah, most of them don't. So your body of work, if you will, is in practices during the week. They're getting more evaluation time. Yes, you're going to see the pressures of the game, but they're not, you know, they're not a real, like a real pressures of a real game.
Yeah, Charlie,
it's
more important with 3 days of practice, you're getting, you know, 6-7 hours one-on-one time with these players to see how they react to everything, how they react to another player kicking their butt on a given snap. What do they do on the next snap? How do they interact with coaches? How do they react to criticism from coaches? So you can learn a lot about these players more than just how they play from practice from watching them over a 3-day period.
But that's your opinion.
Problem, the, Yeah, the problem I had with Tom Coughlin is we had a lot of players who practiced well, but they didn't play very well during the games. So I don't care about – I don't want a practice guy. I want a guy who plays on Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whatever day it is we play now. That's what I want. And I just think that that's more important than if the guy's a Pro Bowl practice guy. Because Marcus Coon is probably a Pro Bowl practice guy, but he doesn't play very well,
Charlie,
during the game.
You're not comparing apples to apples. A practice guy, a guy that practices well in the NFL system these days during the week, is not the same practice as a Senior Bowl practice. They are tackling. They are hitting. These guys, I mean, both those guys, it's totally different. Totally different. So,
all right.
Yeah.
I'll take your expertise, Jeff, on that.
Thank you. I'm glad you did that, Charlie. You finally
listened
to me.
Wow, I just saw Charlie
You finally
yield.
Listened to me one time.
Holy cow. I've never seen – Jeff, I have to shake your hand.
Thank
Jeff.
You. Thank
Congratulations.
You. Congratulations. You're the man, Charlie.
You just got Charlie to say, I will yield to somebody. I have never seen that before. I want to close the show.
It's a new year, Charlie. It's a new year, buddy. Yeah.
That's right.
Your New Year's resolution is working.
I'm surprised you didn't pick the punter for the for your Pro Bowl player who was going to.
God, yeah. Yeah.
You know that. Maybe in 4 years you'll be seeing one of your sons in the Senior Bowl.
That would be amazing. You know, in my first Pro Bowl, and you'll remember this name, Steve Atwater, who played for the Broncos, was just a nasty dude, man.
He laid out everybody, Steve Atwater.
He laid me out in the Pro Bowl. We got a roughing the punter call in the Pro Bowl. They don't rush in the Pro Bowl. He just annihilated me. Talk about stupid, ridiculous. I was like, dude, what are you doing? He goes, oh, man. He goes, my bad, man. My bad. I'm like, my bad.
Wait, he actually apologized to you?
Yeah. But I'm like, that's so wrong. You've seen the Pro Bowl. They don't rush to kicks at all. And the next thing you know, I catch the ball, and I go to, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, my God, I kicked it. All of a sudden, wham, the guy just waylays me. I'm like, what is going on here? And I started running. Sure enough, there's a flag, roughing the kicker in the Pro Bowl.
Water. Oh.
Right? Crazy. So,
that
anyway. He had a lot of pent-up energy. He probably didn't hit anybody all day.
Oh, yeah. Well, he brought it, I'll tell you that. So,
hey, but, John, you think they'll let me into the combine?
No. I don't.
If I stood outside, they would let – I mean, do they have, like, guests that can go in or no?
You know what? Do they do any fan stuff? I don't think they do.
I don't think they do. I really – I don't think they can.
Give them time, by the way. The NFL will figure out a way to make that work.
They probably will. Well, they have. They have it on TV 24/7.
I don't think that they do any fan stuff yet with the combine, Charlie.
Is there anybody in the NFL that – in the front office or anything, Charlie, that you look like that you might be able to impersonate to show up there?
How about – no, I don't look like D-Dot, thank God.
Thank God is right. We only could take one of them.
One P-Dot. Two P-Dots.
I don't know. I'll have to figure. Unless I put on one of those skull caps and I can, you know, look like you, Jeff. And
yeah, there you go.
Bring you know.
Hey, that'll get you in if you look like me. Trust me.
Thank
All right,
you, Charlie.
Have a good weekend,
guys.
My man.
Have
Always good
weekend.
Talking to you.
I didn't realize Steve Atwater's nickname was the Smiling Assassin.
Well, there you go.
It makes perfect sense with your story.
Yeah, he hits me, and then he smiles.
He assassinated
you,
and then he smiled.
Why don't you?
Dude. Oh, man. You know what? I guess I'll wait till next week to do this with you. I had the list of the all-time Super Bowl team. I wanted to go through it with you and kind of get your opinion on some of these guys.
All-time Super Bowl teams.
Yeah, they announced the all since it's the 50th anniversary of the Super Bowl.
Okay.
The NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame announced the Super Bowl 50 Golden Team.
Oh, sweet.
And there are how many? I think they said 22 Hall of Famers. So I'm not going to go through them now.
We'll go through them next week.
I'm going to wait for them next week. Yeah. Maybe we have a little lull.
That'll
in the
be
action.
Our
We're
Super
very busy
Bowl
today.
Pregame
but,
on Friday.
I will give you one name that's on the list. Well, I'll let you guess. Who do you think the punter is?
Well, the punter for any of the had to be okay. So, is it?
It's not Jeff Eagles.
No, is it? Was Ray Guy? Did he win a Super Bowl?
Ray Guy is the punter.
Okay, yeah, I would say
you
definitely.
Got it.
The kicker, I would say, would be Jan Stenerud. No, the kicker is Vinatieri. Yeah, come on.
All right, how about this? They also named a kick returner. He did return, and not surprisingly, he returned to kick for a touchdown in a Super Bowl.
Oh,
name that kick returner.
Oh, wow. It was just recent. I mean, in the last 10 years, right?
More like 20 or 25.
Oh, wow. Was it Mel Gray?
No.
Billy White Shoes Johnson?
Not that long ago.
I don't know.
Okay, let me narrow it for you a little bit. His team won the game, and it was the third Super Bowl win for that particular franchise.
Cowboys?
It happened in the 90s.
Cowboys?
No.
In the 90s. Denver?
No. But this team lost to Denver in one of those Super Bowls.
Don't know, John.
I'm like, we're doing my own Super Bowl trivia contest. All right, let me help you out even more. 95 Super Bowl. Packers-Patriots.
Still don't know.
Oh, come on! I just handed it to you.
I don't know.
Former Michigan Wolverine.
Oh, Desmond Howard?
Desmond Howard. You got it. There you go. We got there eventually.
You might as well just told me.
No, I want to see you struggle. That's part
it's
of the present.
You'd be able to give out all those clues. I wouldn't even be able to give all those clues, let alone know who to.
All right, everybody.
It was.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next week with more, and we'll have fun with the Super Bowl 50 Golden Team next week, and we'll kind of go through it with everybody during the week. We'll preview the Super Bowl. We'll keep talking draft. We'll get into free agency a little bit as we continue. Big Blue Kickoff Live rolls on Giants.com for Jeff Feagles. I'm John Schmelk. We'll see you next time, everybody. Have a fantastic weekend.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got through. 35, 30.